Amen. So let's take our Bibles here tonight and go to the book of Numbers, chapter number 4 here tonight, continuing to study through the Old Testament and studying through the book of Numbers. And as we've already seen in the first couple of chapters, the book of Numbers is all about numbers, and you'll see more numbers in this chapter here tonight. But look at Numbers chapter number 4, and we'll read a little bit to get on down through some of this, show you what this chapter is about, and then in a couple minutes we will really get into the meat of the message here tonight. So go to Numbers chapter number 4 and look at verse number 1 when you get there. Numbers chapter number 4 and verse number 1, and the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, after their families, by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil, and cover the ark of the testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth holy of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. And upon the table of the showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes, and the spoons, and the bowls, and the covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon, and they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and shall put in the staves thereof, and they shall take a cloth of blue, and cover the candlestick of the light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and his snuff dishes, and all the oil vessels thereof, wherewith they minister unto it." Let's stop reading there. I think you get the point of kind of what it's talking about here, how that the sons of Aaron, they are the ones who would come and they go into the Holy of Holies, and they're the ones that are handling all the instruments. They're taking everything down. Because remember, during this time, where are the children of Israel? Where are they during this time? Anybody remember? They're in the wilderness. And so they're traveling through the wilderness to get to the promised land, to get through to the Canaan land. And they have a tabernacle, basically a big tent that they set up where the Ark of the Covenant would be inside of there. And they would go to offer the offerings before God. And so here it's talking about how that the sons of Aaron would go in and take those things down. But then you'll see later on that it was the sons of Kohath were the ones that would bear these things upon their shoulders. That you saw there how that said they would take these things down and put the staves in. Staves are, you know, basically just wooden rods that they would carry them around. Now, who are the sons of Kohath? Anybody know from reading your Bible? You may have missed it. It's pretty easy to skip over. The sons of Kohath are who? Not the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron and the sons of Kohath are two different groups. They're both part of the tribe of Levi. But Levi, if you remember, Levi, the son of Jacob, Levi had three sons. Levi had sons Gershon, and he had Merari, which is where Aaron and Moses, those are the ones that where they come from. And then he had another son by the name of Kohath. So that's who this is. That's important just to keep in your mind here just for a couple minutes before we get to what the message is really going to be. Just kind of giving you some context here tonight as we get through this. But look on down in the scripture. Let's skip through some of this because you can go back and read it, read what it's talking about. I don't think I need to explain to you in too much detail how that they're packing this stuff up and getting it ready to carry it off. Look back at what the Bible says. Look down at verse number 17. And the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do unto them that they may live and not die when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them every one to his service and to his burden, but they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. So the only ones who are supposed to be seeing the holy things in the Holy of Holies, this is where the Ark of the Covenant was. And if you remember, this is where the high priest once a year would go in after sacrificing the sacrifice. He would go in to sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice there on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people once a year. And it was only the sons of Aaron who were allowed to be the high priest to go in to make these sacrifices, and then the other Levites of the other two sons of Gershon and then also of Kohath, they had other jobs that they were appointed to. And Kohath, their job was that they were to be basically going in, taking the stuff after the sons of Aaron would appoint to them their service, and they would go in and they would carry the stuff whenever they traveled throughout the wilderness. Now that doesn't seem like a very prestigious job, does it? Not at all. Not a prestigious job at all. But that's the service that God has appointed to them. And if you remember, the Levites, all those who were of the tribe of Levi, they did not have to do any other work for their living, did they? Their work was the service of the tabernacle. And they had their food, their bread, those things were provided to them through the sacrifices that the children of Israel would bring to the tabernacle. Now, all that is just context for what we're about to get into. If you notice back in verse number 17, what does the Bible say there? "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites." Now, why would God tell them not to cut off the Kohathites? Why would he tell them that? Well, I think he was telling him that because here in just a very short while, you're about to see something that the Kohathites, they basically get upset because they don't have a prestigious job and they come against Moses. In fact, let's look at it. Go over to Numbers chapter number 7 and let's just continue looking some in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 7, look down at verse number 4. Numbers chapter number 7 and look down at verse number 4. The Bible says this: "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take it to them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen, and gave them unto the Levites, two wagons and four oxen. He gave unto the sons of Gershon according to their service, and four wagons and eight oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari according unto their service under the hand of Ithamar the son of Aaron the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders." So their job was specifically that they weren't allowed to take the Holy of Holies, the holiest things. Remember, this is what they're bearing. You see, the sons of Gershon, they're basically carrying in the wagons all the curtains and the hangings and those kinds of things. But the sons of Kohath, they are taking up the holy things. And God says that they are not to be putting those things in the wagons, but rather they're to bear those things on their shoulders. Now look at Numbers chapter number 16. All of that we just talked about, that's all just context for the message that we're going to look at here tonight. Look at Numbers chapter number 16. And we're going to see how that the sons of Kohath, how that they get upset over these things and they come against Moses. Look at Numbers chapter number 16. Look down at verse number 1. And the Bible says there in Numbers chapter number 16, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take your censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. So here the Kohathites, they're not satisfied with the service that God has given to them, and they are jealous over Moses and over Aaron, the sons of Aaron, and basically they're saying, hey, you're just lifting yourself up. God hasn't appointed you to this. We're all holy. We're all of the tribe of Levi. We're all the children of Israel. So therefore, we all ought to be able to partake in the things of the temple and go in and offer the sacrifices. But remember, this should have been a warning to them. You see here how that Moses tells them to take their censers and to put fire therein. Now, anybody remember from just last week or a week before what we saw in the Bible about somebody that offered strange fire unto the Lord? Remember how that Nadab and Abihu, who were the sons of Aaron, how that they offered strange fire before the Lord that God had not commanded them, and what took place? What happened to the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu? God killed them on the spot. A fire came out and consumed them, the Bible says. So God just consumed them with a fire and destroyed them before the face of the entire congregation. And think about how foolish these men are. After already seeing all the miracles that God has already done as they exited the land of Egypt and all the things that they've seen, and now here they've seen Moses who went up to the mountain and came down with his face shining so bright from being with God that they had to put a veil over his face, and all the things that they've seen, and now they're going to rail against Moses. You think the children of Israel would learn their lesson, but listen, these men here, what we're going to see here in the Bible is that these men, specifically these couple of hundred men, they are reprobate concerning the faith. What does that word reprobate mean? Anybody remember? It means rejected, or to be cast away would be another way to say it. And in fact, the first time that you see the word reprobate in the Bible, it's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 6, verse number 30. And the Bible says, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Now these men here, they're about to be rejected by God. Why is that? Because they come against God, they come against Moses, they come against the word of God that God has given to Moses, and they are railing against him. And basically, what are they doing? They are teaching the people rebellion against God because they are going against the word that God has spoken to Moses. Now, look at what the Bible says here. So Moses basically tells them, hey, bring your censers, and God will choose who is holy, and God will choose who is not. Remember, God has already given to the children of Israel the commandments at Mount Sinai. And remember, in those commandments, God tells him that the things about the tribe of Levi, about the priests going into the temple, that they may learn what is clean and what is unclean, the Bible says, what is holy and what is unholy. And apparently these men here had not yet learned that lesson, and so they're about to be destroyed from the face of the earth. Just look at what the Bible has to say. Let's read some more. Verse number 7, and the Bible says, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, And seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron, that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey, and to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself together a prince over us? Now, one of the lessons that we're going to see here tonight in this chapter is that you better beware if you come against the man of God. Something that you see over and over again throughout the scripture is that when men come against the man of God who is preaching the word of God that God has given to him, again, it's nothing special about the man. It's that the man has humbled himself and he's preaching the word of God. And if you come against a man who is speaking truth, then what are you doing? You're not so much as coming against a man as you are going against God. Remember, what did the Bible say there? That they were coming against the Lord. And what you're going to see here is that all these men that came against the Lord here, they were killed on the spot. And you see this principle throughout the Bible. You see men throughout the Bible. You see children, by the way, with the prophet Elijah, how that Elijah is going, he's traveling, and there's over 40 of these children that come out of the city, and they're basically mocking him and telling him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. They're making fun of him. They're mocking him. And therefore, the Bible says that the Lord sent bears to those children. Think about this. And those bears tore the children up because they had mocked the man of God. David would not touch the Lord's anointed. Why? Because he did not want the wrath of God to come upon him. Remember how that Saul was seeking to kill David. But David would not touch him. He had a couple of opportunities where he very easily could have killed Saul because he came upon him when he was sleeping. But instead of killing him, he just cut the hem of his garment off just to show Saul that he could have taken his life had he so chosen. But he would not touch the man of God. Because he bewared of the wrath of God. Look back at what the Bible says in verse 14. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, Respect not thou their offering. Now notice here, what kind of prayer does Moses make for these kind of men? Does he ask for God to change their hearts? Does he ask for God to have mercy upon them? Does he ask for God to bless them? These men have come against the Lord. And what does Moses pray? What does he say? Do not respect their offering. Now, when you pray that prayer in Moses, knowing the commandments that God has given to him, what do you think Moses was basically praying? Respect thou not their offering. Moses knew that men that came before the Lord and offered these offerings that God had not offered, he knew that they would be destroyed. He knew that they would be killed. Now, if we were to pray a prayer like this today, people would get upset, wouldn't they? If we prayed like Jeremiah, by the way, God told Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah not to pray for this people for their good. Think about that. That's what God told the man of God. That's what God told his prophet about the nation of Judah, because they had become so wicked, so vile, that God told him not to pray for their good. Look back at what the Bible says in verse number 15. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord, every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, each of you, his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, and Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up, and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So what do we see here? By the way, we see a biblical principle here that's taught in the Old Testament, and it's taught in the New Testament as well. And what do we see here? That with these wicked men, were they supposed to join up with them? Were they supposed to ask for God's mercy, for God's blessings upon them? Or were they to separate from them? They are to separate from these men, because God says that He is going to consume them. That means God has already determined His judgment for these men, that He was going to kill them. Now, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, in fact, keep your finger here in Numbers, but let's go ahead and turn there. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and look what the Bible has to say there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and look at verse number 14 when you get there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and look at verse number 14. And the Bible has to say this. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says this: be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Notice that. Now, what does the false prophet today tell you? The false prophet today tells you that you can just continue to live in your sin and to continue to live your life however you want to, and God will just receive you. God will just accept you for who you are. Now, what does the Bible say? What did God say? God said separate. God said come out from among them. God said don't touch the unclean thing, and if you do this, then will I receive you. If you want to be received by God, you want to be approved of God, then you need to obey the Word of God. That song that we sang before the service, trust and obey. That if we obey the commandments of God, then God will receive us, then God will accept us, and we will have the blessings of God upon us. The blessings of God in the Bible are conditional. The false prophet in the world, they want to get all excited about the blessings of God, and yet they don't have the blessings of God. And why is that? Because the blessings of God are conditional. It's funny, God always says a funny little two-letter word, if. You see, if God will say, if you do this, then I will do this. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will I add unto you. What was he talking about in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33? Well, he's talking about food. He's talking about raiment, talking about clothing, talking about a house over your head. That if you will first seek the kingdom of God, then I'll provide all these things for you. You see, the blessings of God are conditional. Now notice what the Bible says here, that we're not, the Bible says in verse number 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So with somebody that is an unbeliever, I'm not to yoke up with them for a common cause, is what the Bible teaches me. And yet this is what the world wants to do. This is what all these false religions out there are doing, is that they're all yoking up together. Now, independent Baptists, they won't yoke up with all these false religions, but there's one religion they will yoke up with, a false religion. Anybody know what that religion is? Give you one hint. We're reading about them in the Bible tonight. Israel, the Jews. You see, the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. The Jews, are they believers? No, they're not. So should I be yoking up with them? Should I be sending them money to send them back to their promised land? Should we as America be yoking up with the nation of Israel when they are unbelievers? And yet Christians tonight and independent Baptists will preach to you all day long that you ought to support them, you ought to yoke up with them, but yet the commandment in the Bible is be not ye unequally yoked with unbelievers. And you don't just see it here in this portion of Scripture, but you see it all throughout the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament. We just saw it in the book of Numbers that they were supposed to come out from among them and be separate from them. Why? Because when God's judgment falls on the unbelievers, if you're yoked up with them, God's judgment will fall on you too. You see what you see there in the book of Numbers? Is that had the congregation just stayed with the sons of Korah, with the Kohathites, if they had just stayed mingled in with them, the entire congregation would have been consumed if they stayed yoked up with those unbelievers. Notice what the Bible says there. And what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Now who's Belial? Belial is Satan. Balaam. Balak. I mean, there are many names in the Scripture for him. But that is Satan. The Bible says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? You see, we're not supposed to be yoked up with them whatsoever. And the Bible says that we ought to come out from among them and be separate. Tells us not to touch the unclean thing. And I will receive you. Now on that note here, since Halloween was this week, when you read this portion of Scripture, how can you read this portion of Scripture and say, well, it's all right for me to celebrate Halloween? How can you say it's all right for me to celebrate witches and ghosts and familiar spirits and wizards and all of these things that the Bible says is an abomination to him? And in the Old Testament, those that would yoke up with those that had familiar spirits, they were given the death penalty in the Old Testament. God considered it such a grievous sin. And the Bible shows us all throughout the Bible that we're not supposed to be seeking to those that have familiar spirits. We're not supposed to be seeking wizards and witches, but yet this is glorified today in our nation. And even amongst Christians, it's glorified. How many Christians today, they'll watch the show The Walking Dead? I mean, glorifying death, isn't it? You know what the Bible says about that? All they that love death hate me. Hey, if you love death, that's what the Bible says. That you hate God. And all these phony Christians out there, they'll put on a show, they'll act like a Christian, and then they're going to go watch shows like that are completely against the Word of God. By the way, the Bible also teaches us that we ought not to fear. That if you fear anything but God, it is a sin. Did you know that? That fear is actually a sin? That's why God throws people to the lake of hell for it. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 8, but the fearful, it's the first thing on the list, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone. It's the first thing on the list. You see, the Bible teaches us that we ought not to fear man, but rather we ought to fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. But yet Christians today, they want to watch all these shows, get these thrillers out there, to get a thrill off of it, get all excited by bringing this fear into your lives. And the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So get it, if something gives you the spirit of fear, could that be of God? When God says he has not given us the spirit of fear, you need to watch what you're watching and not watch all this junk that is out there in the world. Look back at what the Bible says. Let's continue moving on. Look back at the book of Numbers and look back at what the Scripture has to say there. Numbers chapter number 16. Let's read a little bit more of that story there. Again, there are so many lessons in this one chapter that we can look at with these people that are rebelling against God. Look at Numbers chapter number 16. And let's look on down at verse, where did we leave off? Verse number 30, look on down there. The Bible says in Numbers chapter number 16, look at verse number 30. Bible says this, but if the Lord make a new thing and the earth, notice, in fact, look back up one verse, verse number 29. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. This is Moses speaking here. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. So what is Moses saying here? Hey, if these men, if they just die a common death, you know, a natural death of natural causes, then God hasn't sent me. But here's my sign to you, children of Israel, that if they don't die a common death, and if the earth opens up and swallows them down into the pit, then you will know that the Lord, that they have provoked the Lord. Now, what does he mean by that the earth is going to open up and swallow them down into the pit? What's the pit that he's talking about? It's talking about hell. Now, the pit is mentioned many times in the scripture as a place and as hell. Bible says in Psalms 55, verse number 23, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Isaiah 14, 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Ezekiel 31, verse number 14 says, for they are all delivered unto death, to the nether parts of the earth, in the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the pit. And of course, Revelation chapter number 9. Anybody remember something that happens with the pit in the book of Revelation? Anybody remember? We studied the book of Revelation a while ago. What happens with the bottomless pit? In the end times, in the book of Revelation, the bottomless pit opens up, and all those locusts come up out of the bottomless pit to go forth to torment men for 5 months, the Bible says. And by the way, they're not just locusts like we see out here on the earth. No, these are creatures. These are basically insects that have a tail like a scorpion that they can sting, that they can bite, that they're basically, their torment is so terrible that they are going to torment for men for 5 months. And the Bible says that men will wish that they could die, but they won't be able to die. So this torment is going to be so terrible that men would wish that they would just die from the pain, from the agony, from the torment. Bible says in Revelation 9:2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And in many other places, the Bible talks about the pit being hell. So where is it that these men are going to go? They're going to go to hell, is what the Bible says. God's not just going to kill them and take them out of this life. No, these men were never saved. These men, these are men that never believed. And they're trying to stir up the congregation against Moses. Look back at what the Bible says in verse number 31. And the Bible says, and it came to pass as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. So get the picture here. That everything that these men own, everything that appertains to them. By the way, if we had time, you could go back and read it. It says that their families and their beasts, everything that they owned, that this pit, it opened up and everything went down into it. These men basically killed their wives, killed their children because they rebelled against God. But notice what happens to the 250 men that rebelled. They didn't just go down to the pit, did they? What happened to them as well? They were consumed by a flame that came out from the Lord. Now, could you imagine this? Could you imagine seeing this take place? Don't you think there would be fear on the congregation of Israel because of this thing that had taken place? Don't you think that they would have greater trust and faith in God after seeing something like this? But yet, you know what the scripture says? And on the morrow, they murmured. So the very next day, after all this takes place, they begin to murmur against God. I mean, what a faithless generation. By the way, that's why this generation that we're reading about here in the book of Numbers, they sinned against the Lord. God said, they sinned against me these 10 times, and God wanted to just destroy that entire generation, but Moses interceded for them, and so God did not destroy the entire congregation of Israel, but He destroyed that entire generation. And anyone over the age of 20 and upward, they all died and perished in the wilderness. And why does the Bible tell us that they perished in the wilderness instead of being able to go into the promised land, into the Canaan land? Why could they not go into the promised land? For unbelief, the Bible says. By the way, many of them died early deaths. Think about that. Because it was everyone who was of the age 20 and upward. They wandered in the wilderness after God pronounces that judgment upon them. They wander in the wilderness. Anybody remember for how long? For 40 years. So let's say a 20-year-old was the last one to pass away before they went into the promised land. How old would he have been? 60 years old is how old he would have been. So they died early deaths in the wilderness because they turned and rebelled against God. Look back what the Bible says. Let's continue reading some of this here. Look at verse number 40. And the Bible says there, in fact, look back up to verse 39. Let's read that. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censer wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron, and again, who is Aaron of? The son of whom? Merari. Remember that. Gershon, and then you have Kohath, which is these men that have rebelled against God here, and then you have Merari, and that's where Aaron comes from. Look, and it says, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. So on the morrow, they are murmuring against Aaron again. They're murmuring against Moses again. By the way, what does the Bible say? That this was to be a memorial, doesn't it? That this is something that they are to remember and to pass on from generation to generation. That's why Eleazar takes all these censers that they had left behind, and he makes a broad plate for the covering of the altar, and so that they would remember what God had done. Now you may say, well, Brother Joe, this is the Old Testament. And I love it when people do that, because you know what? The New Testament talks about these things. In fact, let's go ahead and look at it, and we'll close there. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and look at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and look at verse number 1 and look what the Bible has to say there. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 1. And the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So what generation, who are we talking about here? Those that were under the cloud and passed through the sea. Who is that? The ones in the wilderness is who we're talking about. They're the ones that were led by the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. They passed through the Red Sea. This is that generation that we just read about in the book of Numbers. Look at verse number 2. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that, notice this, that spiritual rock that followed them. You see, people get the idea that Jesus is different than the God of the Old Testament. Now look what the Bible says. The rock, that spiritual rock, followed them in the wilderness? Who is it that is pronouncing judgment upon them? Who is it that just killed these 250 men and everything that appertained to them? Who was it that did that? It was Jesus. Look at what the Bible says. And that rock was Christ. You see that in the Bible? Christ is not different than the God of the Old Testament. In fact, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. The Bible says in the book of Malachi, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. The Bible says that with God, there is no shadow of turning. Means that He's not going to turn, He's not going to change. God has been the same all throughout the entire Bible. You know who has changed? Man has always changed. Satan has changed. But God has never changed. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day. Here's another event it's talking about. And fell in one day 23,000. So hey, this didn't just happen this one time in the Old Testament. There's another day when God killed 23,000 of them. Because they rebelled against God. Look at verse number 9. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted. So what does the Bible say? Hey, don't let us tempt Christ as they also tempted. So who were they tempting in the Old Testament? They're tempting Christ, weren't they? It says, and were destroyed of serpents. There's another event that takes place. That God destroys and brings serpents into the camp and destroys, and everyone who is bit by these serpents is dying. And so Moses has to go make this brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and raise it up in the air, and everyone that looked at the serpent was healed. But there are many that died that day. Look at verse number 10. Neither murmur ye, and some of them also murmured. Hey, we just read about that, didn't we? They murmured. And notice what the Bible says. And were destroyed of whom? It doesn't say God, but it is God. Destroyed of the what? The destroyer. Who destroyed them in the wilderness? Was it Satan or God? It was God that destroyed them. You see, people have this idea today that Satan's the destroyer, and he's not. Satan can't destroy your life if God does not allow him to. Satan is limited by God, but it is God who has power both to destroy both body and soul in hell. Hey, that's a good picture that we just saw of that in the Old Testament, isn't it? How that they were swallowed up alive into hell. God destroyed both their body and their soul in hell. And that's who the Bible tells us that we ought to fear. Look at what the Bible says. Let's finish reading this. Now, in verse number 11, now all these things happened unto them for what? And samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So listen, we just read about that. The sons of Kohath, they thought that they could stand. They sought to exalt themselves when God had not exalted them. They weren't content with what God had given to them. And so they rebelled against God, caused the children of Israel to rebel against God. And God destroyed them in the wilderness. And the Bible says that this is our ensample. It's written for our admonition. So does it sound like this is something that we ought to be obeying in our lives? That we ought to obey God and trust His commandments and not murmur against God and not murmur against the man of God. By the way, the Bible does say in the New Testament, before an elder, receive not an accusation except to be by two or three witnesses. Now these men, they're just accusing Moses. They're just accusing Aaron of exalting themselves, but there's no witnesses there, are there? They're just these men, these sons of Belial, that are just accusing him. And by the way, what does the Bible teach in the Old Testament law? What was the punishment for those who accused falsely? Anybody remember the punishment for that? Not just death. The punishment was for whatever you were accusing them of. So if I falsely accused you of murdering somebody, what's the penalty for murder? Death. So then the penalty for that man would be death. If I accused you of stealing, of theft, well then whatever the punishment was for theft, that would be the punishment upon me. By the way, this is the law that we should have in the United States of America. Because how many times do you see women, and how many times do you see people today that falsely accuse somebody and just completely get away with it? Even if the man is found innocent, there's no punishment for that man that accused him falsely. But in the Bible, God prescribed a punishment for that. And the Bible says that these things are written for our admonition. You didn't know there was so much fire in a book of Numbers, did you? I mean, the book of Numbers is a great book and a wonderful example that we see there in the Word of God that we ought to fear the Lord. And why ought we to fear the Lord? Well, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, the world today and the unlearned, by the way, the Bible says that the unlearned and unstable rest the Scriptures. The unlearned so-called Christian out there, you know what I see them saying all the time? They want to quote the Bible and they'll say, well, perfect love casteth out fear. But what does that mean? Does it mean that you're just not supposed to fear God? Listen, when there is commandment after commandment after commandment after commandment throughout the entire Bible that we ought to fear God, then they just want to take one verse completely out of context and say we shouldn't fear God. I mean, how foolish is that? Perfect love casteth out fear. You know what it's talking about? It's saying because I have the love of God in my life, because I am saved, because I'm a child of God, I don't need to fear the world is who it's talking about. Perfect love casteth out fear. I don't need to fear Satan. I don't need to fear the world. I don't need to fear the governments of this world. Why? Because I have the perfect love of God. And His love is perfected in me. And because I have His love, then I don't have to fear the world. But I better fear Him. Because if I don't fear Him, I could bring death. I could bring destruction upon myself and my family. You don't believe that? Well, read the New Testament. There are those even in the New Testament that God killed on the spot. How about Ananias and Sapphira, that they conspired to lie against the Holy Ghost? And what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach us in the book of Acts? That they were both killed right there on the spot by God. If you commit a sin that's worthy of death, God may decide to take you out of this world. No, if you're saved, you can't lose your salvation, but God can take you out of this world. So we ought to fear God. And by the way, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. You want to understand the Word of God, then you must first fear God. Because if you don't fear Him, you have no understanding. That's how I know that these men that say that you shouldn't fear God, that's how I know that they have no understanding of the Bible. Because if you don't fear God, how could you have the beginning of wisdom? The Bible says to fear the Lord is understanding. You want understanding? Then fear God and then search His Word. Let's stop there. We're out of time here this evening. And let's end in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us in your word tonight. I just ask that you would help us to take these examples that we see in the Scripture, that we'd apply them to our lives, Father, and that we would obey your word, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. We're dismissed here tonight.